Lord hasn't come back yet. Wish he would. But he will. I just don't know when, no matter what anybody says. Hey, you know, there's really three other advances going on at the same time here. There are three children's advances going on. And let me tell you, they're full-scale advances. You know, we think we're so cool in this room. You go into their rooms, they rebuilt the whole room. It's amazing. And I was thinking about it, your children that are here, they're making lifelong friends. They're building the word in a way that we want them to have the word built in them. And just like we love being together, they love being together too as believers. And who do you want to be friends of your kids? You know what it's like without believer friends. I really want to thank Jeff and Ryan and all of the people that have helped here at the Advance. This year, we are not just Atlanta people that worked, and that's really awesome. And I was thinking this morning, why did you come? The reason I'm asking this is our topic is go stand and speak. So that tells me either you didn't think about the topic, or, which it could be, that's fine, or that you have it in your heart to help people, to speak God's word. And how cool is that? How much does that really bless God? Last night, I was so inspired, all those stories that Bob told us, and they're all true, as far as I know, about how the word moved, how great things happened. And I started to think myself, well, what the hell about me? I don't have thousands of people that I go to the hair salon. Well, I've never been to a hair salon, but actually I have. I used to wash windows at a hair salon. Anyway, you know, and 100 people come to fellowship that night. It's not like every one of us is going to witness to 1,000 people and they're going to come. Some of us, maybe we will. But the important thing is that we speak the word to one person. Each one win 1,000. Nope. Each one win what?
One.
I'd like you to do something, please. Think of one person that you can speak the word to. Just take a second, please. That hasn't heard it before, okay? Got somebody? Who wants to tell me about somebody that they got? Just a person's name. Anybody?
Dorothy.
Dorothy, all right. Who else?
German.
German?
Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Jeremy. Jeremy, okay, thank you.
Molly,
okay.
Melanie.
Perfect.
Michelle,
all right, good.
Mike.
What?
Mike.
Sean, yeah.
Christian.
Deborah.
Perfect. See, look, there's one person. And can you think of something to say to them? What's something that you think? What are you going to say to Dorothy?
God loves you. Do you want to come with me to Bible fellowship?
And what will you share from the word with her?
Say, God's word is true.
God's word is true. So you have something already to help one person. Isn't that cool? God didn't call us to be witnessers. It's something that he gave us to do. God's primary calling was for us to fellowship with him. That's God's heart. God's heart was that we fellowship with him. And then out of that love that God has for him, for us, and the love that we have for God, that we will extend ourselves to Dorothy and to Christian and to Mike. Who was it, Giovanni?
Jeremy.
And to Jeremy. I'll never forget that name probably now. He better get in the word.
Yeah.
But if you think about your life, and some of us have been in the word longer than we'd like to admit, we may not have had thousands of people. Well, don't you dare condemn yourself. And I'm serious. Don't condemn yourself. We're not Jesus. We've got Christ in us, and we're all individual. And all of us have different great long suits that we provide to the body of Christ, right? And every one of us is different. We just read that verse where Paul said to Timothy by revelation,
do the work of an evangelist. Was he an evangelist? Probably not. But there are times when we do the work of an evangelist. But I'm not a Mariana Aviles. She'll walk in and 50 people will... She went into a hair salon because she was having a bad day. Do you know this story? She went to... Tell me, Bob, if I get it right. She went to a hair salon because she was having a tough day. She just didn't want to deal with anything. And then that night, she had a fellowship at the hair salon. There's people like that, and I thank God for that. But I also thank... I thank God for you, Aiden, what you do in the body of Christ. And we are all called to do the word. We all should reach one, and that's what we do out of the love that we have. You're very valuable to God, just as you are. But don't you condemn yourself. God needs us to believe what his word says about us, and then we can be really valuable to the body of Christ. I'd like you to turn to Matthew, please, chapter 22. In the Old Testament, there are hundreds of commandments. And those religious people, the scribes, they categorize them into all these different categories. Great, small, hard, easy, you know, good, positive, negative. God never meant for all of that. But this guy came to Jesus tempting him, and he asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? What's the great commandment? And the answer that Jesus gave is in Matthew chapter 22. Boy, these teachings have been just awesome, just amazing. This word of God, if we live it, we really will see the word continue to move for generations. 22:36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These two commandments summed up all of those hundreds of commandments of the Old Testament. You know why? Because when you walk in love, you don't need law. Law, it says in Timothy, is for the godless. Law is for sinners. It's for the unrighteous, the people who are haters of God. And that list goes on and on and on. I don't want to bring up all those names. But that's what law is for. Love of God transcends law. You don't need a law if you love. Are you going to hurt your neighbor if you love him?
No.
And so God gives us, by the way of Jesus Christ here, greater law, a greater law. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. If you walk in love, you need no law. Jesus gave a new commandment. Now, this is something. Hear all those commandments in the Old Testament. We got a new one coming along. So they're thinking, okay, add it to the list. But let's look at what Jesus said was the new commandment, all right? John 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Does that sound so new?
No.
Didn't we just read up there in Matthew 22 what the great is, love God and everything? But let's keep reading, okay? That you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So there's two keys here. One is this word new. This word new commandment, it's that same word that's used in Romans 12. That's the root of it. In Romans 12, renewing your mind. You don't get a new mind, right? I kind of wish I could have just turned mine in and got a better model. But that's not how it works, right? It's new in what? Quality, exactly right. Love wasn't new, but Jesus Christ was giving a new quality of love. And then he says the second thing here is, as I have loved you, that you love one another. How did Jesus love people? Well, you know what? The first verse gives us a key. 13 verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus Christ loved them unto the end. That doesn't mean to the end of time. He loved them completely. He loved them fully. He loved them totally, to the greatest extent. That was this new kind of love. As I have loved you, that you love one another. That was the love the world hadn't seen. It was a spiritual and a deep kind of love. And by the way, love is a great discipline. Love is not an emotion. Love is a decision that we make. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. He loved them unto the end. It wasn't based on emotion. Do you really think Jesus felt like dying for us?
No.
If he was waiting for himself to feel, you know, like he wanted to die for us, I think we might still be waiting. But he made a decision. He made a decision. Galatians 5. If love were an emotion, by the way, Galatians 5 really wouldn't make any sense. Look at verse 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Woohoo! Do whatever you want. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but do what?
By love
serve one another. If it was an emotion, maybe you'd feel good today to love somebody, maybe not. And God couldn't command it if it was an emotion. This is a commandment to us. Love one another. Serve by love, serve one another. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. All of this stuff that we're learning, all these keys, and they are sure wonderful. My gosh, I'm thankful for tools. We have great tools that we learned to help other people, to get God's word to people. So many, many things that we learned during this weekend. What did I say? Matthew 5. And look at verse 43. It's not hard for me to love you. Most of you. You're loving. You're kind. You're believers. That's not hard. If you have trouble loving believers, you're really not going to like this verse. Matthew 5, 43. You've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Okay, we heard that, Jesus. 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Oh, good Lord. This is new. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now really think about that. This is what Jesus said, that we should be doing this. Hating your enemy doesn't do any good. Loving your enemy can really change them. Let's look at verse 48. That ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That's God. Verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Don't even the publicans the same? You know who the publicans were? Tax collectors. Anybody here love your tax collector? Well, today it's all automated, right? It's a computer that we would love or not. But these people were despised because they had a reputation, like I think used car salesmen still do today. They had a reputation for being dishonest. A little for Uncle Sam, a little for me. And that's how they got so rich. And he said, even those people who you despise, they love people that love them. Big whoop, Jesus said. That's how it reads in the original. verse 47, and if you salute or you greet your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that word perfect there is that same word that we looked at. Jesus loved them unto the end. God is perfect unto the end. completely, fully. God is perfect. What's the context? Love. Love. Doesn't 1 John say God is love? I think that kind of embodies it. I was thinking of that Paul Thorne song where he says, I don't like most of the people that I, half the people I love. He says, I like it when they come, but I love it when they leave. That's not exactly loving your enemies. But I understand what he means. You see, few people have ever pushed to the limits of love. Few people actually truly believe that love wins. That in a situation when somebody is your enemy, that you loving them is going to do something good. Jesus was convinced. He couldn't have gone to the cross if he didn't truly believe that. And you and I, we don't have to go to the cross, but we do have something to give people if we love them. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter. By the way, you know, the neighbor in the Bible is usually talking about a believer. The Old Testament, they stayed away from the Gentiles. So what you read in the Old Testament and in a lot of the Gospels is really regarding Israel. What Jesus Christ commissioned those disciples to do goes way beyond, like we've seen, go to the whole world, right? Speak to every creature. I remember when we used to go teach trees. Do you remember that? Like we were practicing teaching. Is that in the core that we did that? You go out, people in the neighborhood must have been crazy. We did that on light bearers, didn't we, Jerry? It's like 4 degrees. I'm glad I'm not there anymore. It's like 4 degrees, snow on the ground. We're all out there, each one of us talking to a tree. Can you just see somebody driving by? Anyway, did I tell you 1 Peter? Okay, chapter 4. When people come to fellowship, they just get blown away by the love of God. I remember my first fellowship, and I was nobody. I was a dumb, scared high school kid. And somebody reached out with love to me, and I was kind of pretty much unlovable, to be honest with you. I wasn't a nice person. I had a temper. I was angry at the world, and I had no reason to be, except that the adversary runs the world, and I accepted it. And then I went to fellowship, and somebody loved me. Somebody loved me enough to give me the word. And for me, it was like, that's it, I'm done. I'm done, this is it. This is it for the rest of my life. And I know some of you the same thing. We get to the point where you see that love of God, we want to be that way. There's no selfishness in love, none. If it's true love, and that's the love we're talking about here, there's no selfishness. That's why if somebody does something to me, I can love them back. Why? Whatever they do to me, we should just shake the dust off our feet, right? Like water off a duck's back, whatever that means. I never understood that. Verse 8, above all, 1 Peter 4:8. And above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of covering. And that's what the love of God does. It covers a multitude of sins. That's why even here among the body of Christ, we have little infractions, you maybe call it. Somebody has an issue with another believer. We have things, right? Sometimes that we deal with. We're a family and we're all living in this world. The love of God covers a multitude of sins. That's how we can love even when a believer is not kind to us. That's how we can love. That's a decision that you and I make. You can't make me not love. If I decide to love, I'm going to love. And really, honestly, I think we ought to make that decision, that we're going to love like Jesus Christ loved, like God loved to the end, that perfect, being perfect in love. Love wins. And if we truly believe God's word, we'll believe that that's true. There's this book I have that's called Love Can Open Prison Doors. And it's about this criminal. He was one of the best what do they, crack the safe? What do they call those people?
Safe crackers.
Safe crackers. Thank you. It takes a community. You know, you couldn't trust him around a safe. His goal in life was to be a great criminal. Don't try it, Trevor. That was his goal. But look, he got in prison. He got his life turned around. And what he would do is he would target people with the love of God. All right? So, Chris, let's make believe you're a criminal, okay? That's hard to believe, but that you're a criminal. And he's watching your life go in the wrong way. He would target, he'd say, okay, he would pray for you, and he would think about you in his mind, think about you in a positive way, and love you. And he watched these hardened criminals change because of the love of God. I don't know why I cry. I didn't used to cry when I teach. Something went wrong. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5.
He is funny.
I am funny. Ah, thank you. Romans 5, verse 6. For when you were without strength, it's talking about us, in due times means at the exact right time. Jesus died at the exact right time. That kind of takes discipline. Just think about it. You have to die. Can you just get it over with? But he died at the exact right time. That's some kind of love. Christ died for the ungodly, and that was you and me, you know. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't convenient, but he did it. He made that decision. You know, if you put your heart out there, there's the risk that it's going to get stepped on. But it's worth the risk. Because love wins. The price I pay for loving is high, but the price I pay for not loving is more than I can afford to pay. It's easy and tidy not to get involved in people's lives, isn't it? What's that verse in the Old Testament? Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. You know, great, there's nobody here, it's beautiful. But the strength comes by the oxen, right? People business is a dirty business. It's nasty business, but love wins. Love wins. And somebody who's had their heart turned around by the love of God, think of what kind of witness they're going to be for God. Think about how they're going to speak God's word. I know what happened to me, and that inspired me. Other people too, I know you too, because that's really why you're here. 1 Corinthians 13. I've just been so blessed with the word of God that's been shared. I've been so blessed with the fellowship that all of you provide and how you do love each other. I would want to be a part of this group if I came in, like the security guard. Do you know there's a security guard that came and Liz saw him when he was out there in the front. You know, we had all the uniform on, the gun, the whole thing. And he heard the music that she was playing and somehow he stole it. He like got it on his phone somehow. I don't know about that. But he said he got the music somehow. She invited him to come to the fellowship, and he did. And he got super blessed that first night, and they probably assigned him somewhere else because we haven't seen him since. But, you know, who wouldn't want to be a part of this? We really do have something to offer to people. But it's up to each of us with our decision to love God to reach out. And why don't we target each other and Jeremy and Dorothy and Mike and these other people, why don't we target them with the love of God? Target them as an experiment of love and see what happens. Or that believer that you don't quite get along with, maybe target that person with the love of God and see what kind of profit comes from that. 1 Corinthians 13:3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. That sounds like a pretty nice thing, right, for somebody to do? Though I give my body to be burned, you know, that doesn't mean you kill yourself. That means you burn yourself out. like some of these guys did this weekend. Have not charity, have not the love of God, it profiteth me how much?
Nothing.
This is God's word, so is this true?
Yes.
So you might be really good at doing something. Without the love of God, you could just keep it, okay? But with the love of God, even if you don't do it perfectly, it's going to be perfect because God's love is perfect. And I could care less about all the details if the love of God is there. I'll take somebody who loves God and who can't do anything right over somebody who does everything right and doesn't have the love of God. I'd like to have both, but it's never going to happen for me. Verse 4, charity, the love of God, suffers long and is kind. These are characteristics of this spiritual kind of love. That's the new kind of love. The new kind of love that Jesus Christ came to give. It envies not. It doesn't envy. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It's not puffed up. Look at me. Look at me. Oh, come on. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. And here's the killer. Thinketh no evil. I guess it's possible to get to that place. Well, it's certainly worth attaining that, like getting toward it at least. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Something happens to somebody that you don't like. You jump up and down. God doesn't like that. God sends his rain on the just and the unjust. He lets the sun shine on everybody's fields. God never wants, I think somebody said, God never wants evil for any person, even though they hate him. We can be the same like God, to be perfect like he's perfect. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And here it is again, beareth. That word bear is the word that means like to cover over. Like if you have a garbage can and you just cover it over with a lid. Covers over a multitude of sins, we read, right, in Peter? It just covers over. You might see something I do wrong. And there's a bunch of those things. But you don't bring it up and talk to everybody else about it. What do? You just cover it over. You cover it over. Sometimes the love of God is going up to somebody, like we read about Paul did to Peter, right? Sometimes it is getting in their face and say, look, get your act together. You're hurting people. Sometimes it is that, right? But the love of God, but you're not envying somebody. It covers a multitude of sins. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, the love of God, never fails. That's the word of God. If we truly believe it, we can really love and see what love's perfect work does. If we truly believe it, we will go God's way rather than our emotions, rather than our defense mechanisms. Rather than what we think we should do to justify this situation. The judgment that's coming hasn't happened yet. So let's leave everything up to then and let us do everything we can to help each other along the way, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Love never fails, never fails. 1 Thessalonians. I'm not teaching you this because you're not that way. You are loving. You are that way. Let's keep it rolling, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here's the only verse, and you scholars can tell me later, but when I did my little cursory view, this is the only verse I see where the word of God tells us in the epistles to actually love an unbeliever, right? But it does tell us to. Look at this, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward what?
All,
even as we do toward you. There is a command from God. Lord, make it increase and to love toward one another and toward all. But God's going to help us. The Lord make you to increase. God can help increase the love in our lives. Now, isn't that encouraging?
Yes.
There are days I have trouble mustering it up. But God infuses me. God gives it to me if I allow him to. And then he says, increase and abound in love one toward another, that it's just gushing out. Dorsey talked about the sponge, that it just comes all out of us and people around us get affected by it. I was gonna say infected, but that's probably the wrong way. Toward one another and toward what? All. If we wait to speak the word to people who are lovable, I don't know which one of you'd still be in here, but I know I wouldn't. What do you expect from people in the world? No, let's be honest about this. It's nice to talk to nice people. It is nice. It's nice when people are nice to us, isn't it? It's nice. But what do we expect from the world? They've been screwed, blued, and tattooed by the adversary. By the adversary. They've been run around by the adversary. What do you expect? You think they're gonna have a little animosity? You think they're gonna have a little protectivism? You know, or what? You think they're gonna have... Of course, we should expect that of people of the world. And that love of God changes them. Paul wasn't exactly a lovable dude. Like after he killed your brother. Wouldn't that be a little tough to love him? That's the kind of thing that, it's kind of an extreme. But what do we really expect from the world? What we should do is expect that they can change when we love them with the love of God. That's what we can do. Whatever condition they're in. God doesn't care what condition your condition is in. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew. Toward one another and toward all. It's time for God's people to wake up. It's time for God's people to rise up and to accept that what God's word said is true when it says love never fails. Love never fails. Even if you get your heart stomped on, love never fails. And by the way, it's not how many people we get in the word that we're rewarded for. Bob read a great quote the other night. The faithfulness and the love of God with which we do what we do. That's the deal. God's not giving you extra rewards for getting an extra person in. On your chalkboard, you know, you check off another one. It's not like that. And by the way, it's also not your personality that makes the people come. But we faithfully speak the word when it's abounding in our fellowship and when it's not. Faithfully speak the word, and then God brings the increase. He's the one that opens the hearts. Love of God's what does that. Matthew 9:36. Jesus Christ, what a great example here. It's just thinking, who is going to love the unlovable if we don't? That's a job we have. 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was pissed off because he was really tired. No, it would have been acceptable for Jesus. You can read this, this is amazing what he's been. But he looked at the multitudes. I should read what the word says. But he saw the multitudes, 36. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. They were distressed and scattered. They were harassed and helpless. That's how some of these words are translated. That's what he saw when he looked on those multitudes. He didn't envy them because some of them were rich or whatever, you know, people get into that for some reason. I don't know why. Most rich people I know are super unhappy. But anyway, he didn't envy them. He didn't pity. He had compassion on them because he saw spiritually what was going on. You might have a neighbor screaming at you, but if you look spiritually at what's going on, you can address the root cause of that problem and dissipate the whole issue. The love of God never fails. Let's go to Ephesians 4. This will be the last verse I'm going to share, I think. Ephesians chapter 4. We probably read this a few times. You know, poaching scriptures is all right in teachings. God really wants his word, like, repeated over and over and over again. It's all right if somebody stole your scripture. Going last, you know they're going to take all your scripture, so I gave up on that a long time ago. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking God's word in love brings healing. Some of us have been healed while we're here this weekend, and I pray more and more of that. Because speaking the truth in love brings healing. It brings deliverance. We should always speak the truth, but we should speak the truth in love. Let's first get that love part together, okay? We know the truth. There's not a person in here that doesn't have a verse that can help somebody. Not a person in here. So there's no one here exempt from having a way to help somebody in the world and somebody else that's in here. Isn't that cool? With the love of God, speaking the truth in love brings healing. Like somebody said, people don't care what you know unless they know that you care. And I know that happened to me from my first fellowship, and I still feel that way. Knowledge doesn't win people to Christ, but the love of God certainly does. Let's push to the limits of love, okay? That's an individual project, by the way. Each one of us has to decide. You can't make me love, and you can't make me not love. But if you and I each decide to love, no matter what anybody else is doing, we're going to see how love wins. Well, thanks, Father, for your word, for your love. You loved us, Father, and I don't know, we're maybe not even still so lovable. But you loved us no matter what. And so did Jesus Christ, Father. He did what you wanted always. He also was love to the end. Father, I just thank you for each person here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give to you each person here at this advance and their life before you. And you know, we got some sins, we got some things going on in our lives. And well, we give it to you, Father. You're big enough to take it all. You keep telling us in manifestations. And thanks, Father, also for the grace and mercy. We're not worthy of doing this thing that we're doing here. But because you work in us, Father, and you believe in us, we can do exactly what you want. I thank you for your peace. I thank you, Father, for your kindness to us. And I thank you that we can walk out and show the world what a wonderful God you are. And I sure thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.